This is an intro. Intro, intro, intro.
Hustle and flowchart with your boy,
my boy,
Matt Wolf and Joe Fair.
Hey! Hey everyone, back on another episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. This is Joe Fair with my co-host, Mr. Matt Wolf.
What's
Say
up?
Hi, Matt. All right. Today, we have a really cool guy by the name of Alan McKenna. And him and I go back probably 2.5 years, possibly 3 years. Him and I have worked together with a variety of clients. So Alan's specialty is he's all about automation. He's all about evergreening different types of marketing, automating processes and funnels and webinars and anything that's really high profit and long lasting. So him and I work together on a variety of projects to kind of create little assets like that. And he's on the show today. We're going to kind of dig into all of your processes there, Alan. Thanks for being on, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So, yeah, Alan, I think everything you do, you've been doing it for much longer in terms of the automations, but it resonates. Anything that's evergreen, anything that we can kind of create once and replicate as many times as possible.
Yeah.
Talk about a little bit about what you actively do now with clients and for yourself.
Sure. So there's three primary funnels that I build for clients. It's either an evergreen webinar funnel, which I can dive into deeper in a moment, mm-hmm. or we build an evergreen video sales letter funnel, or we build high ticket back-end sales funnels where we're actually driving leads via the web but onto someone where we're making appointments and someone making a telephone call to do a strategy session or discovery session. Mm-hmm. So they're the three primary things that I do with clients. And with any business, I tend to look at the business from a 30,000 foot view first and see where are there opportunities to make money? Where is there basically hidden cash that we can kind of find immediately? And then where do we build something out long term, which is when we roll into evergreens and things like that. And some clients we might start with an evergreen funnel, or some clients will start with a back-end sales funnel, and then we work back into an evergreen funnel so that we can drive leads, you know, further down the pipeline into the back-end sales funnel. So
that's pretty clever, because you almost get that quick win, you know, a fast win, yeah. when you kind of look at the big picture there, and then dial in everything from there.
I'm always looking for the fast win, and it's cool because, you know, like one of the clients that you and I worked on together, Christy Whitman, the first thing we did, she wanted me to build 6 evergreen webinar funnels for her, and then we stack them all together so these leads just keep cascading from one to the next. But the first thing I actually did with Christy, she was in the middle of a launch, she was just starting a launch, and I said, Christy, there's ways that we can make you money immediately. So I put some things in place to be able to drive some sales offline that wouldn't have necessarily bought online. And we end up driving $106,000 in revenue in the space of weeks before we'd even started building an evergreen. So she was happy with that, because it's like, well, that's cool. Let's pay for everything for Alan to build. So
yeah, how cool. I mean, that's just a killer business model at all. Like, just to get clients, you know, in any mm-hmm. business, is find that quick win, you know, by that 30,000 foot level. Yeah, Christy, we actually had on the podcast. So she's, I think, maybe going to be released after this call or after your episode. But it's because she's almost a tricky one. I think you work with a lot of them, best-selling authors, New York Times bestsellers.
Yeah. Work with John Ashraf, T. Harv Eker.
Yeah.
Consulted with Darren Hardy of Success Magazine. A bunch of people, Lisa Sasevich, Lisa Nichols, a whole bunch of people in this space. I'm very, very blessed to have a really cool circle of people that I associate with and get referred a lot within the space and get clients' results. You know, that's what it's all about.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, can we can we dive in a little bit on one of these sort of funnel strategies and maybe talk about like an evergreen webinar funnel? Can you explain it a little bit and what goes into it and what that funnel looks like?
Sure. So typically on an evergreen webinar funnel, the very first thing we ever start with is the script, right? What are we going to teach? How are we going to add value? And I have a script structure that I take clients through. They add the content in, but we have an opening, a closing, seeding, etc. Once the script is created, then everything else is kind of simple from there. That we use that script to write the copy for landing pages, email copy, etc. And the typical structure of that funnel is that we actually have a lead magnet on the front end. So they might have a, like a one-page PDF or some PDF they're going to give away that's a very quick and easy thing to digest, or maybe it's a quiz or an assessment or something. And so we give away the lead magnet, and then what happens is on that, after the opt-in page for the lead magnet, they then go to a thank you page, and the thank you page immediately invites them into the webinar. It says, hey, you've just requested the XYZ PDF, and it's going to teach you this, this, and this. But in the meantime, you know, if you can register for this training, we never call it a webinar, we call it a training, then then you will learn this, 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 this. So we give them all the bullets for what they're going to learn, and then people register for that, and then they go into that element of the funnel. If they didn't register for the webinar, then we have a follow-up sequence on the back of the lead magnet where we keep inviting them back to join or basically register for the webinar. Once they've been on the webinar, whether they've been on the webinar or didn't go on the webinar, we then send them to a replay. And that lasts for a period of days, 4 or 5 days. Then we send them to something we call a summary video. My very good friend Glenn Ledwell taught me about this that he does in his business, and so I put them in place with every client, and we do a shortened version of the webinar. It's basically a 20 to 25 minute, sometimes 30 minute, depending on if the author speaker person's really wanting to speak a lot. But it's like the typical webinar might be 60 to 90 minutes, and a summary video is going to be somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes. And the summary of video or the highlights video is very factual. We're not telling stories in it, stuff like that. We're just saying, hey, you know, these are the highlights of what we spoke about on the training the other day, and I want to give it to you in a bullet. Now, that does two things. One, or it does three things, actually. One, the people that didn't ever get to see the webinar get to see a shortened version. Two, the people that did see the webinar but want a recap to be able to get solid on that, it gives them something. And then there are the people that are the skimmers of the world. You know, they're kind of like, they get bored kind of halfway through. They go, oh, I can't be listening to this. But if you give them the summary video, which is a shortened version, then they'll jump on that. They'll take all the facts and the details, which is great. But then we roll out the end of it with a shortened version of the close anyway, a shortened version of the offer. So we take them through the main webinar, then we take them through the replay, then we take them through the summary video. Obviously, at any point, if they made a purchase, they come out of all these sequences. After that, we then go into what we call a direct offer sequence. So then there's a series of emails that just drive them to an order page to make a purchase. And then beyond that, if they don't make a purchase, then we typically roll them into a downsell offer. So we roll them into something that's less expensive. Maybe we're selling something for $9.97, and then we roll them back into something that's two payments of $97. And what I have done in some cases, which is really cool, I've done this with a client of mine from about 4 years ago. I've done this with a number of clients, but I started with this client about 4 years ago doing this, where we actually roll people back into a micro offer, sometimes known as a tripwire offer. Right. So we did that with this client. We actually took the webinar script and the slides, and we created a book out of it. We didn't just dump it all in one thing, but we refined it, made a book out of it, sold it for $7. The cool thing is, from that $7 offer, we actually got a 37% purchase rate, conversion rate to purchase from the leads that we sent through it.
Wow.
And then from there, 1.9% of those people bought the core offer for $700, which was amazing.
Which is like, so, literally inside that PDF they purchased is a lot of training, but essentially it's a sales pitch towards the end because it's a webinar.
Yep, that's exactly it. Wow. That's exactly it. So that's a typical format that we do. Sometimes we don't do all of that with the client, depending on what their needs are specifically, because we might end up building the webinar out and then build a back-end sales funnel, because that's where we're driving leads to be able to get higher ticket sales. But I've done that for a lot of people, that scenario that I just spoke through.
Yeah, no, that's a really good little system flow there. I'm curious why when somebody opts in the very beginning, when somebody opts in initially, why would you not just automatically register them for the webinar if you grab their, you know, their email versus asking them to register again? Is there some psychology or reasoning behind that?
Yeah, it's another level of commitment by them opting in. Because if they just register automatically, or they just had to click a button just to register without actually putting their name and email back in, the likelihood of them showing up diminishes greatly. Mm-hmm. So it's just it's another level of commitment. It's like small yeses along the way.
Mm-hmm. Right, that makes sense. Now, with these types of funnels, are you mostly doing them with just high ticket offers, or have you found that they, you know, building some sort of webinar funnel around maybe $100 product is worth it as well?
Well, with something that's a lower ticket, typically I'm building a similar funnel, but I'm building it with a video sales letter. Mm-hmm. So, for example, with Lisa Nichols, we built her one that we launched. I think it was actually we launched it November 4th. I remember exactly November 4th, and we built her it was a lead magnet. It's called the Abundance 360 Checklist. It's just a checklist of all the things people should do to even realize what abundance they have or don't have. And then we rolled that into a $28 offer, low ticket $28 offer. It was funny how I discovered that, because I said to their web guy, I said, what are you seeing that's selling, like, from this website that people can hardly find stuff on? It's like just a website with kind of very basic descriptions, almost like an Amazon style description yeah. on products and stuff. The guy goes, I don't know. He says, but these people are buying these $28 products. I don't even know how they're finding it so easily and buying it. We're getting like 3 or 4 sales a day. I was like, okay, that's a gold mine.
Yeah.
So we built this funnel we built this lead magnet that flips directly into the video sales letter that says, Lisa says, hey, you know, we've sent the Abundance 360 checklist to your inbox. It'll be there in the next 10 minutes. In the meantime, I want to walk you through something to be able to take you deeper on this. So she walks them through a training. She walks them through basically a conversation, gets their mind thinking, and then makes this $28 offer. When we first launched that, we were getting a 12% sales conversion on that. When we started running paid traffic, that dropped to about 7%, which is still phenomenal. You guys know. Yeah. You know, if you're getting a 3-5% sales conversion, that's great. We were getting 7% on cold traffic. And then the upsell we had out of that was 2 payments of $97. So we're selling something off the back end of that as an upsell, 2 payments of $97, and we were getting, and we still do get, 12 to 14% take rate on the upsell, 2 payments of $97. So that basically lead magnet to video sales letter for a $28 offer to an upsell video that sold them into 2 payments of $97.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah. So how about, and this is going to be a little selfish because of our own product, but so we have a newsletter that goes out monthly. And yep. That's a physical newsletter, but it's a recurring newsletter. So it's a recurring payment of $97.
$99.
Okay. Sure. So something we're working on right now is doing basically a training, you know, packaging that up and then almost flipping it at the end, you know, with the offer to join the letter, but you get the big bonus package that we've also presented. Mm-hmm. And so that leads into the continuity, because inherently selling straight into a recurring, you know, payment is probably the toughest thing we've done, at least personally.
Sure.
Yep. Do you have any strategies, best strategies for selling a continuity, something that's a recurring payment?
I think what you're doing is right when you bundle up a package, and when people really want the package of what you've got. I know there are other people out there right now that are doing this too, but if you're giving away something that's worth $1,000 or $500 or whatever, but it's something that's so compelling that people want that, they'll sign up for the continuity because they want the thing. Mm. Now, obviously you have to add the value to the thing for them to stick, you know, to the membership program for them to stick. But when you can make the actual bribe super compelling and super specific, then you get a lot of people just take that up. I know for me personally, I've joined continuity programs just to get the bribe.
Yeah, as of us. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
For sure. That's pretty much what we're going for. Is we're putting bribes in front of them that are, you know, $1,000 value, like true legitimate. Courses that we have sold in the past for $1,000, and then saying, you know, get in for $99 today, and we're going to give you this as well. So, you know, it's we love being validated on the strategies we're working on.
I think, and you brought up a really cool point too earlier, in that we talked about Christy Whitman and the way that you connected all of her presentations and then pretty much cycled people through, more or less. I don't know the exact inner workings there, but that's something we're actively kind of putting together for ourselves is, you know, creating about 4 to 6 packages of products slash offers, and basically pushing those leads. If they don't take on one, then push them up over to, you know, something else, maybe something other interest. Yeah. What are your strategies, or how would you formulate that? Is it usually based off of interests, or do you just kind of, you know, you have a pool of maybe customers already or new leads, and then, you know, on a time basis, you just kind of cycle them through offers.
I mean, typically if the offers are, and I'm going to say closely related, but you know, I wouldn't go off like left field and all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, we're selling you this personal development program. Oh, now we're selling you how to do Facebook ads. Just kind of, that's random. You need to be in the same lane as your audience for sure with the different products and programs that you offer. But when things start to, mesh, and you say, okay, well, this one over here is about money. This one over here is about your body. This one's about your relationship. That's what Christy Whitman has specifically. Mm-hmm. And then it's more about a timing thing. So when someone opts in for a webinar, if they didn't end up purchasing by the time they've gone through that entire sequence that we spoke of previously, then we wait 2 weeks and we drop them into the next training. Mm-hmm. We just invite them to the next training. Mm-hmm. And that's all done automatically. It's all done by triggers and timing and everything else, all within sort of Infusionsoft that we're using in that particular case. Mm-hmm. And then from there, whether they purchase or they don't make a purchase, they will get driven into the next one. So if they do make a purchase, what happens is we allow time for them to consume the product, go past the refund period, and then we wait 2 weeks, and then we drop them into the next training. Mm. We invite them to the next training. That's what we do. We don't just drop them in it. We invite them to the next training. And if they don't take an action on that, then everything's time. So there's all just time sequences that just waits a little while and then just invites them to the next training. And the cool thing is with any of the clients that I work with, we always look to add a ton of value on the training, where people can walk away and go, oh my God, that's just amazing. You know, whether they bought anything or not, they get a ton of value, because those people come back. You know, the people that didn't buy will come back and they'll buy something in the future.
Yeah. I can vouch for the fact that you give a lot of value in all of the webinars you do. You know, because I helped you create, and it's like a good hour, almost out 45 to minutes to 60 minutes of training, pure training.
Oh yeah.
So it's huge.
It's interesting, because there's obviously some conflicting points of view out there. I mean, I just got done reading Russell Brunson's latest book, his Expert Secrets book, and one of the things he teaches in his book about webinar specifically is save the real value for the actual course and use the webinar to sort of change their mind on closely held beliefs, but not really teach them much. And then you do the teaching once they actually purchase. We've always gone the route with our webinars of try to put just a ton of value in there, so people are just like, wow, these guys are awesome. I need to buy whatever's next. You know, how do you see those two sort of contradicting philosophies? You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, I understand both ways of doing that. And it is very valuable when you can shift someone's belief, because you have to shift someone's belief anyway in what's possible for them.
Yeah.
So if you can shift that and then you can show them a way to go forward and get that, then there's value in that. The way that I structure webinars, well, we look to do to two things in one, really, where we're shifting beliefs, but we're adding value for them to be able to say, wow, this is really cool. And then the offer is really like a shortcut to get there.
Mm.
You know, it's like, hey, you can either go ahead and do everything we just told you on this training, or we have this program that literally is going to walk you through this and step by step, and you're going to get it done. You're going to save yourself a whole lot of time and time and trial and error here.
Have you found that you can overteach potentially?
Absolutely. Yeah. Some people give way too much away.
Yeah.
In fact, I have one client, which I won't name right now, but they've been a client. We've built so many projects together. It's amazing. Really amazing guy.
Yeah.
10 years ago, they were giving away so much stuff. And I said, whoa, you've got to stop. No one's going to buy anything. You're feeding these people a full on 3-course meal.
Oh,
they're so full up. They're not hungry for anything else. So we actually took the content they were giving away. We structured that into a membership program. I believe that this was probably, I don't know, I could be wrong. This was probably the first evergreen kind of product launch formula style thing, because we had a sequence of videos. We actually had 7 videos that were content. Wow. But every one of them led to an offer, but I put it on Evergreen because I'm all for doing Evergreen. Mm-hmm. And we sold off the back of each one of these videos, they all stacked on top of each other, this $47 a month continuity. And we ended up putting 800 people in that in the space of about 3 months.
Hmm. Wow.
And okay. But it was because they were over-delivering that they weren't getting anything. Now, mm-hmm. the point of that wasn't to sell people a $47 a month continuity. The point was to call out the people that spent money, make them a client, and then get them in conversation with a salesperson to sell them a $6,000 to $8,000 coaching program. Mm-hmm. And it was much better. The salespeople were like, whoa, these leads are so much better qualified. Sure. Well, yeah, because they've spent money with you. They're not just the people just going, oh, I'll take all the free information, then get you on the phone and think I'm going to get free advice, mm-hmm. and then walk away from it. So, I mean, I'm not saying there weren't those people in there too, but we end up increasing the sales leads by 500%, but they were qualified leads, and end up increasing revenue substantially too. So, that's, you know, there's many different ways to kind of work that model. In fact, let me give you another scenario of that.
Yeah.
So I did this with Lisa Sasevich. We created a micro offer of $18. Lisa liked the number 18. She wanted to use that. Mm-hmm. And we actually sold a 90-minute segment that was recorded at a $5,000 live training. Mm. And it was pure content. There's no pitch or anything on the back end of that. It was pure content for 90 minutes and super valuable for people that were going to be doing events. So we sold that for $18, and we sold a boatload of these things. But off the back of that, we immediately invited them into a conversation with a salesperson to sell something else, to be able to sell into either that event that they could potentially come to. So rather than giving it away, we sold it for $18, brought in a wave of cash, which is always awesome,
yep.
and then had qualified leads to be able to have a conversation with, so that we can sell them into either the main event program or a digital, or one of their other digital programs that they had at the time. So, but that campaign was super successful. They ran that 3 years in a row, you know?
Wow. That just seems really cool. There's two things, I guess. You created a way to sell into continuity. So it kind of almost answered the previous question too. That's a different yep. form. But also you're getting phone numbers. So you can collect phone numbers to get people mm-hmm. on the phone, which inherently is probably the best way to sell other than in person.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's something we've debated about in our own business is, okay, what's the best process of actually collecting legitimate phone numbers of people who mm-hmm. want to talk to you? And then selling on the phone that way.
Yep.
Cool.
Very cool. So I want to shift gears slightly, and I want to talk a little bit about traffic and how you actually drive leads into some of these automated funnels. Do you have any specific sources of traffic that you put the majority of your focus on?
So the primary thing when we launch a funnel is we launch it to the internal list. Sometimes we launch it to a portion and then roll it out to the larger list. To test conversions and stuff like that. But typically we'll roll out to the whole list, and typically we'll get a great conversion off the bat. Now that's obviously to a warm list, it's an internal list. They're very used to, you know, they're very familiar and have a great rapport with the personality. Then we'll roll out to a handful of JV partners. So we roll out to a handful of JV partners so we can say, okay, we've tested this. And here's the results from our internal launch. Here's the results from this handful of JV partners. And then we roll it out to to the entire JV list, as it were. Mm-hmm. Then we go into paid traffic. Now there's some people that we just go straight from after we test it with the warm list. We go straight to paid traffic, just depending on what their affiliate relationships and stuff are like specifically. So Facebook traffic is one thing that we end up at typically. In, you know, a good portion of the situations, but I don't do, mm-hmm. I personally don't do the traffic. Mm. I guide them through their own list. I guide them through their JV stuff. And I've done a lot of JV structuring, restructuring with teams for them to be able to get JVs, do JVs and make everything efficient. And especially when I was consulted with Harv Ecker, we consulted for 3 years. The very first thing I did, they had a team of five people that were in their JV department, and they were maxed out doing JVs. They couldn't do any more JVs. And I went in and I restructured exactly how they could process doing a JV, because we had no point in putting more JV partners into something until we can process them faster. I ended up streamlining that. We end up reducing the team to 3 people, and we end up doubling the JV revenues out of there, because what we found is that there were JV partners they were just doing recips for, but no one was actually watching who was generating revenue on both ends of the transaction to make it worthwhile. So we just let go of the bottom portion of the JV partners that really there was no value in either direction. It was just like, you know, scratch my back, scratch yours, whatever, but it wasn't really yielding anything. And we replaced them with people of high value, and that doubled the JV revenue. So I'm big into doing JVs with that. We, you know, typically I'm aligning with Facebook agencies to be able to run traffic through there. We're doing that with Christy. We're doing that with Lisa Nichols. We're doing that with other clients too. And then there's some clients that I have where we run Google traffic. Depends on what the product is. You know, I have a client in the spiritual retreat space in Sedona, and we've tried Facebook, but for some reason it just doesn't work. But Google traffic, we kill it. You know, we have a nice budget for that, and we kill it. We just do really well, and it produces more organic traffic and everything as well. So that's a typical path that we go as far as traffic's concerned.
Perfect. Yeah, I want to hone in a little bit on the JV specifically. We're actually, you know, our business, we've never really used JVs. We've never really had affiliates. We've always focused on paid traffic. Both Google and Facebook are kind of our bread and butter. What would you recommend to somebody who wants to start inviting JVs? How would you go about finding them, and how would you go about getting them excited to get on board with you?
Sure. So the number one thing with JVs, which is part of the restructure with Harv Eker's company, was, first of all, understanding who your ideal client is. Because some of the people that were doing JVs is like, these people don't even have your ideal client. Why are you doing a reciprocal mailing for someone who doesn't have that? Because no one's going to buy anything here. It's like, it's just more spam in their box, probably. So the first thing is to really fully understand who your ideal client is from a demographic standpoint, and what their pain points and their desires are. From a sort of a psychological standpoint. And when you understand that, then it's like, okay, who has these ideal clients? Who can I possibly create a relationship with that has these ideal clients? And then go and find those people. And you can find those people through, obviously, relationships you already have. That's the easiest place to start. But then secondarily, one of the things that we do a lot of, or we teach other JV teams to do, is to go look on LinkedIn for groups. Specific groups, you put specific keywords in, you find specific groups and have that relationship. Because people who own groups on LinkedIn, they get the opportunity to mail, I think it's once a week. Every
Sounds
7 days.
Yeah.
And they will mail for you. And they're always, you know, if they're running a group and they're, you know, the group's active, they're looking for content. So if you give them value add and you give them content and they can make money off the back of it, they're happy to do that. Then the same thing on Facebook. There's people that have groups, there's people that have pages, and they've built this big audience, but they might not necessarily even know how to monetize it properly. You know?
That makes sense.
My approach is always, let me show you how to make money out of the leads that you never sell.
Right. Yeah, you know? The leads that you already have that are just kind of sitting.
Yeah, because that always gets people's attention. How do I make the money out of the leads I've never bought anything from me? How do I do that? You know, so that's the approach, Matt, that I would take down that path.
Perfect. You know?
That's good. And now, similar to the leads that haven't sold, how about the leads that? And this is something that Matt and I are inherently kind of bad at, and I think most business owners are as well. But actually, trying to get previous buyers to buy more. Maybe it's the same level, or maybe a higher level. Maybe you ascend, you know, the sale.
Yeah, I mean, in our current business right now, we're, you know, our main focus is get them on our list, get them to buy something, and then once they buy something, they kind of never really hear from us very much after that. And that's something that we know we need to work on. We're just not sure, you know, how to take those next steps, you know, how to figure out what the next best offer is, that sort of thing.
The best thing I can advise you on with that is to have a higher ticket offer. So let me just step back a little. Have you read the book 80/20 Sales and Marketing by Perry Marshall?
I have a while ago. Yeah,
it's pretty good. Yeah.
there's one piece in that book which I actually attributed to him, as I wrote a little bit in my The Ultimate Guide to a High Ticket Sales Funnel, High Profit Sales Funnel, mm-hmm. Where he talks about 20% of your buyers want to buy the next thing from you, and mm-hmm. they will spend 4 times the money. Let's say someone buys something for $100, right? Wow. So it'd be 1,000 people buy something for $100. 200 of those people will buy something for $400. Mm-hmm. And likewise, 20% of those people will buy something for 4 times that cost.
Right.
So you've got 80 people that will end up buying something for $1,600. Yep. So, and on. So I'm a very big advocate for high ticket products. And because someone wants more attention, more detail, more hand holding through that, and being able to take someone into that kind of experience, and it can be done and scaled. It doesn't need to be a one-on-one situation. It can be done and scaled. Many, many people, as you know, many, sure. many people have done that and continue to do that. But that's really where the big money is, where the big money is and the big profit is on that the back end of that.
Yeah, because there's no other advertising costs typically. I mean, at least not as many. And yeah, like you said, they're always one. A buyer's a buyer. And, you know, 20% more will buy even more. So that's good. Yeah. So things like a live event or coaching, group coaching, one-on-one coaching, consulting. Yeah,
group coaching or software or something that might help them get where they want, or it has to help them get where they want to go faster. That's right. It really,
that's perfect. So that would probably be a book that you recommend someone to reread probably pretty often.
The 80-20 Sales and Marketing is a phenomenal book. I've read it a number of times, and he actually has a cheat sheet online as well, which is really cool to kind of get. But read the book, because there's so much value in the book.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to find that one.
Cool. Yeah. So what's let's see here. So I'm trying to think, because you do a lot of systems. Do you are there things that you kind of check in on, or maybe sections of those systems that you kind of optimize the most more than others? So, you know, are there certain red flags you're looking for maybe in a specific webinar or an email follow-up sequence?
Yeah, I mean, some of the things that I measure in a webinar, we have this entire spreadsheet that has all these numbers in, and we get them updated like once a week. Wow. But we're looking for the, you know, number of clicks / you know, hits to a web page.
Yeah.
Then we're looking at number of opt-ins, and we're looking at the conversion there. Then we're looking from the conversion from the lead magnet into the conversion to the webinar. What's the conversion there? Then we're looking for what is the live show up rate? How many people are showing up live? When I say live, it's pre-recorded, but what we mean is, if they said if they book for 3 o'clock this afternoon, they watch it at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So we can monitor that within the software that says these people all showed up at the time that it should have been. Mm-hmm. So then the next thing we look at is how many people hit the replay page. Okay, now we have a combination of the people that showed up live to people that watch replay. Now, there's going to be some overlap in that, because there's some people that say, I just want to go back and rewatch it, or I didn't watch the whole thing, let me watch the rest of it on the replay. Mm-hmm. And then we monitor what's the total number of viewers, as it were, whether it be live and replay. And then we monitor how long do people stay on. So what percentage of people were on for the first 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 50, with 10-minute increments, we're watching everything. We're seeing where the drop-off is. Hmm. Now, if there's a drop-off in the first 20 minutes, that's a problem, because they're not sticking around because they're not finding the content interesting enough. You know, then you need to rework the webinar and make it more interesting, make it more compelling, or at least sell it differently on the front end for them to stay, because they know that something more compelling is coming.
Sure.
Obviously, there's people that start falling off once you transition into an offer. But if the percentage is drastic, then it's like, okay, the transition needs working on. So we look at those things too. Then obviously we're looking at the revenue that comes out of it. So we're looking at the overall revenue. Then we're looking at the revenue per click, not the cost, not earnings per click like an affiliate. We look at revenue into the company per click, mm-hmm. and we look at revenue per lead. So we know, okay, well, from a click, we know we're getting $5 or $10 or whatever the number is. From a lead, we're getting $20 or $30, whatever the number is. So we measure all these things. And then from that, then when we go into paid advertising, we've got all this data to be able to work with and be able to say, okay, cool. Well, we know we get this revenue per lead. We get $10 a lead here.
Yeah.
So providing we're spending, you know, $3, $4, $5, $6, even $6 a lead, we can assume we might be profitable here. In fact, we always halve it knowing we're going into paid traffic. Mm-hmm. We're getting $10 a lead. We go, okay, we can probably spend up to $5 a lead to get here. Mm. But let's set that as a kind of max target here, depending on how the funnel is structured and what back end stuff's on the back end of it. So anyway, that's how we view stuff.
And that's super helpful, because I know it's just when you're looking at a webinar in general, to see where those drop off rates are is huge. Mm-hmm. So you can then kind of attack them chunk by chunk, I'm assuming, from the beginning onward.
Yeah.
What kind of software do you guys use for your webinars and all your data?
Yeah. So we typically 90 to 95% of my clients are using Infusionsoft as a CRM, mm-hmm. which is great because we can track a lot of things in there. And then from a webinar standpoint, we use Stealth Seminar.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's just That's been a around time. A long time, and they're really helpful. I don't know any of these other softwares to not use, because that's really what I've used for like, well, probably since 2011. And we've been successful with it, and they're really cool people over there. If something breaks, they'll fix it, or if you want something created, they'll do it for you, and they don't even charge you. So anyway, we like that. With some clients, we end up using Wicked Reports as a tracking system.
Yep.
We tend to use that more when we're doing Google Ads, because you can't because with Google Ads, we're trying to track the ROI, so it just works out better. You can't use affiliate links for that, but we can use the Wicked Reports tracking links. Other than that, to track stuff, we use Infusionsoft as an affiliate program, and we build an internal account for paid traffic, and then we run Facebook traffic through that affiliate link, so we can track everything. We can double check it against Facebook stats and see what's going on for clicks, opt-ins, sales, and revenue coming out of something by tracking it with this internal quote unquote affiliate account.
That makes sense. Yeah. Double check.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. So I think, we kind of went everywhere we wanted to go with this call.
Yeah. I'm kind of tapped out, at least on the personal questions that we have. I guess we could circle back to one of our kind of go-to questions to start wrapping up here is and I know you already mentioned a book here, but what's one book or maybe a resource that you kind of refer to often every year, or just whenever you feel like you need a reboot for whatever it is you're looking for?
I tap into a lot of stuff that Frank Kern does, because he's just really super smart.
Right.
I tap into Digital Marketer all the time, Ryan Dice, because they're really smart, and they've got all sorts of businesses in different industries, so there's always a lot to learn from there.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for, because one of the things when I build back-end sales funnels is I train the salespeople how to sell. My background is in go knock on doors, make appointments, go in the home, make a sale. That's what I used to do when I was 21 years old. So that was a few years back.
Yeah.
And so I'm always looking for things like how can I create an edge, or how can I create something there's an angle on something or a twist on something, or just to be more of service and more value to a conversation, so that we can end up bringing people to the solution they want. And I train a lot of people on that. One of my clients, I said, they're in the spiritual retreat business in Sedona. They sell over the phone, and I manage their sales team, for the last 3 years. Well, wow. I manage it, I train them, and we do sales meetings every other week. But so I'm always looking for resources for that. So one of the best books I've ever read, by the way, on selling for that end of things, mm-hmm. is a book by Richard Bandler called Persuasion Engineering.
Okay.
And it's not available on Kindle. It's not available in soft cover. It's only available in hardback, and it's a $25 book. But it's one of the best books you'll ever read on sales.
Okay.
And and then I tap into a lot of Russell Brunson stuff, because we use ClickFunnels for pages and stuff like that too. So,
got it.
They're my primary kind of go-to places for things, see what's going on in the marketplace.
Very cool. So our last question that we ask everybody is, where can people go learn more about you? Where can they, you know, inquire about your services and that sort of thing?
Sure. So they can go to, this is kind of a long web address, but businessaccelerationstrategies.com. And when you go to the homepage there, you'll be able to see different videos from clients and different results we get with clients and stuff like that. And then you can also go to highprofitsalesfunnel.com and you can pick up my PDF, which is a guide, really. It's called The Ultimate Guide to Building a High Profit Sales Funnel. And it'll walk you through case studies and step-by-step what I do with a client when it comes to building a high-ticket back-end sales funnel.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I didn't. It's kind of funny, but we worked together for years now, and I didn't realize how deep you get in with clients and people that you actually work with. You know, it's more than just the surface level, hey, let's set up some funnels and off you're running. Like, no, this thing from the inside out.
Yeah, and it's because I look at that, I give that 30,000 foot view, then we look at where's the immediate need? Like, where's holes? Where's stuff leaking? Like, it's funny because I'm working with a real estate company right now in Canada. I mean, that's so out of the space that I'm normally used to working in. But as a matter, I work in all sorts of spaces, the home improvement space. I work with a company that sell used fuel trucks. They do $60 million a year selling used fuel
Interesting.
Trucks.
Interesting. Okay.
And I made this guy $75,000 before we even signed a contract. I just gave him one idea because I look at the business and say, where is there a hole? How do we plug the hole and let the cat and divert the cash? And then we look to build out funnels from there. You know, right. It's always what I look for first. And then how do we build stuff out from a lead generation, lead nurturing, conversion standpoint, and then start looking back at what traffic sources we can put through. And even where people even leak traffic. So many people leak traffic. Like, they've got videos galore on YouTube and there's not a single link anywhere to click on something. It's like, wow, do you even realize you've got all this traffic that's just passing you by here?
Your door's
closed, you know?
Yeah.
So, I have an eye for finding money, which I'm really blessed to have.
That's a good eye.
My clients are happy about that too. So,
have you ever? And I know this is like we're about to wrap up, but do you ever take on percentage deals or equity stakes in a company for your services?
With the right deal, I would do that. Yes, and part of my structure, my compensation structure, is a retainer plus a percentage of the revenue.
Got it.
Anyway, okay. So, and we, you know, depending on the client, depending on what that looks like, because some people have different margins or whatever the deal might be, if we just, we work something around that. But, you know, it's,
it's all built in there.
Part of my model.
Very smart. No, you're finding gaps. So I think that's the way to do it for everyone to kind of take off and doing it themselves. So yeah, businessaccelerationstrategies.com or highprofitsalesfunnel.com.
And we'll put both those in the show notes as well. So
definitely
easy access to those links.
Thank you, Alan. And
you
gave us some good
really
models.
Appreciate it. It's been awesome.
Yeah. Fun. We'll chat soon. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye. Right, bye. Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to this podcast. Now, if you want to learn more and hear from us every single month, which a lot of people do, it's pretty fun, we actually write this thing called the Evergreen Profits Letter, and that is a printed newsletter that we actually send to hundreds of people every single month to your doorstep, so you actually get it in the mail. You can read this sucker, you can highlight it, you can dog ear, you can scratch some stuff out if you don't like that one. You say, no, Joe and Matt, that's not cool for me. But you can take a lot of different strategies, about 15 or so from every single issue, and it's really cool. So basically, these are actionable strategies that you can use in your business right away to test out and pretty much build on what you already have going on. So check it out. It's at www.egpletter.com. It's pretty amazing. And you should go check it out. See what it's all about.
Boom.